भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओ जटाधरस्तीव्रतपा ब्रह्मवादी सभापति अंकिंकृत्य स्त्रियं चास्ते गता ह्री प्राकृतो यथा जटात। Also today there is text 6 also which has no purport, so I'll read the text and then read the purport for the 7th. Text 6. Chitrakechu uvacha esha loka guru sakshat dharmam vakta sharirinam aste mukhya sabhayam vai mithuni bhuya bharyaya. Translation. Chitrakechu said, Lord Shiva, the spiritual master of general populace, is the best of all living entities who have accepted material bodies. He enunciates the system of religion. Yet how wonderful is that he is embracing his wife Parvati in the midst of an assembly of great saintly persons. Text 7. Translation. Lord Shiva, whose hair is matted on his head, has certainly undergone great austerities and penances. Indeed, he is the president in the assembly of strict followers of Vedic principles. Nonetheless, he is seated with his wife on his lap in the midst of saintly persons and is embracing her as if he were a shameless, ordinary human being. Purport. Chitraketu appreciated the exalted position of Lord Shiva, and therefore he remarked at how wonderful is that Lord Shiva was acting like an ordinary human being. He appreciated Lord Shiva's position, but when he saw Lord Shiva sitting in the midst of saintly persons and acting like a shameless, ordinary man, he was astonished. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that although Chitraketu criticized Lord Shiva, he did not offend Lord Shiva like Daksha. Daksha considered Lord Shiva insignificant, but Chitraketu expressed his wonder at Lord Shiva's being situated in that way. Om Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinathaninam. Hare Krishna. So seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can speak on this Amala Puran Srimad Bhagavatam, this verse, for my own purification. So we are reading this 6th canto, chapter 17, which is entitled Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu Maharaj. And we see this beautiful section from Srimad Bhagavatam, very, very instructive section from this Amala Puran Srimad Bhagavatam, which is nothing but Srimad Bhagavatam is glorification of the Lord, the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord, and the process of devotional service. So that is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Every text, every purport, Srila Prabhupada glorifies the Lord, the devotees, and the process of devotional service. And this episode also, how we see very beautifully Shukadeva Goswami and Srila Prabhupada through his enlivening purports is giving us various lessons in as sadhakas, how we can learn from this episode. At the same time also, this episode glorifies wonderful devotees involved in this sandharva or in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. And specifically this chapter glorifies the devotees. As we see in the later part, we will see how Lord Shiva personally is glorifying the Vaishnavas. And we all know that famous verse That also comes in this section, that Narayana para sarve na kutasya bhibhyati swarga aparuga narkeshu api tulyat darshina. And this verse also is very famous verse glorifying the devotees, that how devotees are unaffected by any material conditions, also comes in this section. So this section specifically glorifies the devotees of the Supreme Lord. In this particular episode which we are seeing, wherein Parvati, Mother Parvati is cursing Chitraketu, herein also we see there are three great devotees being participating in this episode. We have Lord Shiva, as Madhavendra Puripuru was very nicely explaining yesterday about the position of Lord Shiva, the Shambhu Tattva, and also the glories of Lord Shiva, how he is a wonderful and a great Mahajan, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, as we all know. So he is one of the personalities who is glorified in this episode of Srimad Bhagavatam. And also we have Chitraketu Maharaj, who is also a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. As we saw in the last chapter, how being instructed by Shripad Narad Muni, he followed the instructions of Srila Narad Muni, his spiritual master, and ultimately saw Lord Anantadev face to face. So that is Sri Chitraketu Maharaj, who is in this speaking in these two verses which we just read now. And also the third personality, Srimati Parvati Devi, the consort of Lord Shiva. She is also rendering very, very important service on behalf of Krishna in this material world, taking care of the citizens of the material world, this Durga. So she is also another great devotee who is participating in this beautiful pastime. So herein we see that Shukadev Goswami and Srila Prabhupada basically in various purports in this chapter has given various understandings and various wonderful lessons which we can see from this episode on a very, very important subject matter for all of us about the Vaishnav Aparad, how and what is Vaishnav Aparad. It's a very, very vast subject and beyond my level of realization, but still I would like to share something. Particularly in this section, first of all, we see that Chitraketu Maharaj apparently seems to be criticized Lord Shiva. Of course, herein Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur compares that he criticized, but at the same time he did not offended Lord Shiva like Daksha. We will see later Daksha, how Daksha was actually trying to demean the position of Lord Shiva. And of course we know Chitraketu Maharaj is a pure devotee, and in one sense, in one of the ways, we see that he was actually glorifying Lord Shiva, that how self-controlled Lord Shiva is, that even though he is giving a talk on renunciation or vairagya to the assembled sages, he is embracing Srimati Parvati Devi. And also from his reaction after Parvati Devi curses him, we see how he accepts the curse as the mercy of the Supreme Lord and glorifies the Supreme Lord. So in that sense also we can see that Chitraketu Maharaj was always situated on the transcendental platform. And also we see Prabhupada in the future purports explains that if actually our Chitraketu Maharaj would have been offending Lord Shiva, then all the other sages and assembled Vaishnavas, those who were hearing from Lord Shiva, they would have got up and ran from that place, or they would have tried to stop Lord Shiva or Chitraketu Maharaj, but they did not do that. So that means they understood the intentions of Chitraketu Maharaj, that he was not offending Lord Shiva. Otherwise they would have, as it is customary for a Vaishnav to not hear Vaishnav Ninda, they were hearing the words of Chitraketu Maharaj without any any action. Also we see another angle which Srila Prabhupada offers, is that Lord Shiva being a great Mahajana, so herein Chitraketu Maharaj is acting for the benefit of others, because Chitraketu Maharaj knows that if ordinary persons see Lord Shiva's behavior like this, they may criticize Lord Shiva. So he wanted Lord Shiva, so he acted in such a way, in this way, so that Lord Shiva does not act in a public assembly like this. so that others, the people in future who see Lord Shiva or who refer to this pastime, does not offend Lord Shiva. So it was his compassion for the living entities to act in this way. So in this way we see he gives various, Srila Prabhupada gives various angles to see that how Chitraketu Maharaj was not criticizing or offending our Lord Shiva. Also, another point which we see is that as devotees, we have to be very, very careful about the Vaishnava aparad, even criticism of the Vaishnavas. As one of the devotees in the past in his Srimad Bhagavatam class was mentioning about this point, that how as devotees we have to be extra careful. I was giving the example that, like, we have a balance for weighing machine. Like, we have weighing machine, say, in the kitchen, which can weigh up to 100 kg, 150, 200 kgs. And also we have another balance, which is used to weigh gold. So the balance, which is more sensitive, the gold balance, even if a small change is there of 2 grams or 1 gram, it can measure that sensitivity. It can record that. But the gross balance which we have down in the kitchen, it will be able to record that. So that means for those who are advanced or those who are practicing sadhakas as devotees, it is more essential to be very, very careful in our dealings. So that's the having obtained this mercy of the Lord, the process of devotional service. It is for us a more a caution that we have to be very, very careful because we are very, very sensitive to this Vaishnava prad. Even a slight criticism or a slight offense can be disturbing to our spiritual life. So we have to be very, very careful in that regard. As therefore in this section we see that, and of course Prabhupada explains and the devotees explain, that we cannot judge the behavior of great personalities. They are beyond our level of understanding. It is not our duty or responsibility or not our prerogative to judge the Vaishnavas who are much more advanced than us. Generally, Gauranga Prabhu gives that example of the traffic signal. It's like you are driving a bike and you are going on a bike on the highway and you see a red light and you stop for that. And the above, you see a plane flying above it. And it doesn't stop, it just goes on. And you say, hey, why the plane is not stopping? Why there is red light, it should stop. But we have to understand that it is beyond the rules and regulations of this material world. So therefore, we have to be very, very careful while dealing with advanced devotees, or in fact, for any other devotee or any other living entity, not to offend anyone. Also, as Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains, quoting Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that the offense of Chitraketu Maharaj is actually not offending, as Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, even though he appears to be criticizing Lord Shiva. But herein he quotes another example, Daksha, who actually purposefully, out of envy towards Lord Shiva, he had envy for Lord Shiva, and as soon as he entered the Daksha, as soon as he entered the assembly of sacrifice, Lord Shiva did not stand because he was absorbed in his own meditation on the Super Soul. So Daksha became very, because he was already envious of Lord Shiva, he got up, he got really, really upset and angry, and he began to criticize Lord Shiva, demeaning his position. Actually, begins by saying that I'm not speaking out of envy or hatred. I'm just telling the facts. But whatever is there within one's heart comes out in times when a person is put under trial conditions in difficult situations. Whatever is there within our heart comes out. So herein also, Daksha, even though he was envious, he's saying, I'm not envious, I have not stolen. I'm not speaking lie. I'm just telling the fact that this Lord Shiva is defaming the governors of the supreme world, this universal affairs, all these governors, they are being defamed by Lord Shiva's act. And then he goes on to further demean Lord Shiva's position, that he is monkey-eyed and he has married my daughter, who is like the dear eyes. In this way, he is criticizing Lord Shiva out of envy. But then, afterwards, when we see this section, Proceeds of Daksha, Prajapati, the Sati Devi, when she goes there and all those things happen wherein she is not well received by Daksha, she begins to glorify Lord Shiva. And she is telling Daksha, that, my dear father, what a personality you are. You are offending Lord Shiva. He is such a person who never looks for fault in anyone. And at the same time, he is a personality who, even if sees a little glorification or little glories in a person, he magnifies that to a great extent. She says, Gunamsta Falgun Bahuli Krishnavo, that a Falgun, a little guna, which Lord Shiva sees, he glorifies to a great extent. That is the nature of the Lord. And also the devotees, they see a small spark in a devotee or in a person and they want to fan it. We also see in so many pastimes of Krishna also, he also just sees a little quality in a devotee and glorifies that or gives, reciprocates as per his endeavors. We see the classic example of Krishna killing Putana. Putana with absolutely no intentions to serve Krishna just poisoned her breasts and entered the arena of Rajbhumi in Nanda Bhavan to kill Krishna. That was her only intention, to kill Krishna. So she is there and Krishna mercifully, along with the milk, also pulled out her life here. See, and then later on Shukadev Goswami in that episode mentions that how Putana was ultimately given the position of Dhatri in the spiritual world. So herein we see that Krishna, he just accepted the part that she had come to just serve me or offer me milk. He just took that little quality, or we can say little aspect of her act, that she has come to serve me milk. And as the acharyas explain, that Krishna killed Putana not because she had come to kill her. He killed Putana because Krishna, of course, had killed so many young children in the Brajbhumi, and Krishna did not want her to continue her nefarious activity. So in this way, out of compassion, and Krishna killed her and accepted her devotional service. So that is the position of Lord and his devotees. They just see the good qualities in a devotee, as Sati Devi is glorifying Lord Shiva, and fan that. We also see in Srila Prabhupada also, he would also see good qualities in his disciples and glorify them and encourage them in their devotional service. And also, another beautiful verse comes in that section of Daksha Yagya, wherein after the whole thing is settled, Brahmaji comes and pacifies Lord Shiva, and finally Daksha and all of them resumes the Yagya. In that, in that section also, Lord Shiva, he is glorifying the process of devotional service. That is, as we were saying, that is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, to glorify the Lord, devotees, and the process of devotional service. So herein Lord Shiva is saying to Narayan, as when he appears in the Daksha Yagya, that I was unaffected by the criticism of Daksha. And then he goes on to explain that the reason was because I was completely absorbed in focused in meditating on your lotus feet, which bestow benedictions to all living entities. And in that purport, beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that how when one follows the process of devotional service and is completely absorbed and one keeps himself busy in Krishna conscious activities, then he can be completely untouched by the material modes of nature. That is the power of the process. When one is absorbed, he is completely unaffected by the external surroundings or by the modes of material nature, which make us sometimes happy, sometimes distressed when some encouragement comes or some criticism comes. So herein Lord Shiva completely unaffected by the whole episode. Also we have the example of His Grace Jayananda Prabhu. One time one devotee asked him that, How do you like save yourself from Maya, or something to that extent, he asked. And then he said, I have no time for Maya. So that was the secret he was giving. That's what Srila Prabhupada explained in this purport. That when we are completely busy, occupied in serving Krishna, then no external surroundings or not this material world cannot affect us, and we can be completely absorbed. Also, when His Holiness Shri Kadambakanand Swami Maharaj was here, he was also giving this example of about the power of devotional service, practicing this process. He was telling that suppose you have a lot of material desires. Of course, we have unlimited material desires. He says, so you write down the prominent material desires you have on a piece of paper. Write down like, and keep that piece of paper, fold it nicely and put it in a box. And be yourself, write all your material desires, not all, you cannot write all, whatever are surfacing at that particular moment, write those material desire and put it in a box, nice box, close it with a ribbon, and put it aside and keep engaging in devotional service, the process of chanting Hare Krishna, rendering service, and make yourself completely busy. And then he explained that when you have, after some time, when you realize that if you no service, you are free for some time, there is no service, then you go back to that box and see what should I do. And then you open that box and you decide, let me fulfill my material desire. So you open that box and see, and to your amazement, you'll see that half of them are already gone. So he was explaining that Krishna is Hari. He will steal away our material desires and hankerings if we follow, just keep ourselves busy in following the process of devotional service. The process will automatically act and it will purify us from our anarthas and our desires to criticize, to offend, that is inherent in all of us because of our conditioned nature. So just by practicing this process and keeping ourselves engaged 24 hours in Krishna consciousness, we can get this benediction of free from criticism. Also, Lord Chaitanya also explains that in Srimad Chaitanya Bhagavat that just if one does two things, just chant the names of God, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and does not criticize anyone, he can go back home, back to Godhead. Lord Chaitanya therein personally says that I will personally take that person back home, back to Godhead. If one does not criticize Vaishnavas and chant Hare Krishna. Also, we see another beautiful pastime from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, which brings about this point of Vaishnava Aparad, about the offense or so-called offense of Shachi Mata. Actually, Vrindavan Das Thakur begins this pastime in a very beautiful verses from Chaitanya Bhagavat. I'll just read very, very beautiful verses. Therefore, I thought I'll just read the verses. He says that Vaishnavara Kripai Se Pai Vishwambara Bhakti Vina Japatapa Akinchita Kara. Then he says, I'll just read the three verses and then speak about the translation. Vaishnavara Thai Jara Hoye Aparada Krishna Kripa Huilo Tana Prema Vadha. Then he says that it is only by the mercy of Vaishnavas, Vaishnavar Kripa Paya Vishwambar, that one achieves the lotus feet of Vishwambar, Lord Gauranga, only by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And he says, Bhakti Vina Japa Tapa, without the Vaishnavas mercy, our chanting, our austerities cannot bring in results. And then he says, Vaishnavara Chai Thai Jara Hoye Aparat, Krishna Kripa Hoilo Tara Prema Bhad. Even if somebody has received the mercy of Lord Krishna, if does offense, Vaishnava thai hoi aparad, if offends a Vaishnava, even Krishna's mercy cannot save that person. And then, before he begins this narration, he says to all the readers that, Ei bado adbhut katha shuna sabad sabadhane Vaishnava aparad guche ihara shravane. That please hear this wonderful narration, adbhut katha, with great attention, savadhan. Because Vaishnava Aparad Guche Ihara Shravane, that just by hearing this Adbhut Katha, the Vaishnava Aparad is Guche, or is removed, just by hearing this wonderful narration which he narrates herein. And one time when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip, in Srivas Angan, he would perform wonderful kirtans with all his devotees, Srivas Thakur, Murari, Gupta, and all other Vaishnavas. And one time, Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He went inside the altar of Srivas Thakur's house, sat on the throne of Lord Vishnu, placed all the Shaligram Shilas on his lap, and he began to speak out that I am Vishnu, I am Lord Shiva, I am Vishnu, I am Lord Narayan, I am Krishna, please worship me. And then he began to say that I was peacefully residing in the causal ocean, and then Nara, this Advait Acharya, prayed for me and I appeared just on his request. And then he says to all the devotees assembled, ask for Bean, Shrivas, ask for boon. And he asked, Advait Acharya, ask for boon. And all devotees asked the devotees to ask for boons. And various devotees, one by one, began to ask Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu various boons. Somebody asked that my father is not a devotee, please grant him pure bhakti. Somebody says, my parents are not following Krishna consciousness, they are not helping me, let them make devotees. Somebody said, my neighbors are not devotees, please make them devotees. In this way, different devotees were asking for their relatives, for known persons, and some of them were asking, please give me pure devotional service. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya was giving benedictions to all those who were assembled there in that assembly. And very smiling in a beautiful way, he was giving everyone ecstatic prema bhakti to all the assembled Vaishnavas there. And then after some time, Srivas Thakur, he approaches Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Sundar, that my dear Lord, please give prema bhakti to your own mother, Shachi Mata. That time Lord Chaitanya became very grave, and then he said that I cannot give prema bhakti to my mother Shachi because she has offended a Vaishnava. When everyone heard this, they were completely astonished and they were shocked and they were saying that we will give up our bodies, my dear Lord, if you do not bestow your causeless mercy, give prema bhakti to Shachi Mata. She is the mother of the three worlds. She is bhakti personified. How can you not give mercy to Shachi Devi? And Lord Chaitanya says that Prabhu bole upadesh kahite se pari Vaishnava aparad ami khandite nari. I cannot forgive Vaishnava aparad khand. I cannot cut down Vaishnava aparad. I can give instructions. Upadesh kahite se pari. I can give upadesh, but for Vaishnava aparad, I'm sorry, I cannot help. So devotees were very, very morose and distressed that their mother, worshipable mother, was not being given prema bhakti. So then they all approach Advait Acharya and tell him about the whole episode, what has happened in that. And when Advait Acharya hears, his heart breaks. He said, I will give up my life if this is the case. She is my mother. How is that she has committed? I take the dust of her lotus feet on my head, and she is the mother whom my Lord personally accepted her as the mother, and he appeared in his womb. She carried her. She is such a powerful personality, bhakti personified, that she carried Lord Gaura Sundar in her womb. So how can I think of forgiving her or giving my dust? So in this way, Advait Acharya continuously keeps on glorifying Shachi Devi, and in completely absorbed in ecstasy, he faints. And Shachi Devi, she is also there, and she, when she hears this and she saw that this is a beautiful opportunity, that Advait Acharya has now fainted, let me go and take the dust of Advait Acharya. So she approaches Advait Acharya and touches her lotus feet and takes the dust from his lotus feet and put it on her head. And hearing, and experiencing the dust of Advait Acharya, Shachi Mata also absorbed in great ecstatic love, she also faints in ecstasy. So seeing this, the beautiful transcendental exchange wherein Advaita Acharya is glorifying Sachi Mata and Sachit Mata glorifying Advaita Acharya. Both of them fainting, the devotees began to say, Jai Jai Hari. And in this way, they began to glorify Lord Gaurasundar in various beautiful ways. They're quoting verses. They were doing kolahal, loudly glorifying Lord Gaurasundar. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smilingly said, Ekone se Vishnu Bhakti hoilo tomar. That now you have got Vishnu Bhakti. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then says, Ekone Vishnu Bhakti hoilo tomar. So now your offense to Sri Advaita Acharya has been nullified and you have received the mercy of Lord Vishnu, Prema Bhakti to Lord Krishna. So in this way, this beautiful narration goes on, and later on, after this completing this, our Vrindavan Das Thakur basically explain what was the offense or so-called offense of Sachi Mata, why Lord Chaitanya was not giving his mercy. So he explains this episode as follows, that one time when Vishwaroop was there, Lord Chaitanya's Nimai's elder brother, he was, one time Jagannath Mishra was actually going on to meet some of the scholars in that area, Navadvip, wherein there were no people who were following the practice of pure devotional service. All the people were just engaged in sense gratification, spending their time in marriages of their family members, even organizing the marriages of their pets. And those who were brahmanas or scholarly persons, they were also same time just absorbed in logical arguments, Nyaya Shastra, but nobody at that time was glorifying pure devotional service. So our Vishwaroop, he was very upset, and when he was very morose that no one around pure devotional service is being glorified. So one time when Jagannath Mishra, he went to some of the Bhattacharyas along with Vishwaroop, and they asked Vishwaroop that, what have you studied? What are you studying? And then he says, Vishwaroop, that I know a little of everything. So when he heard this, Jagannath Mishra, he got a little upset that how he is behaving so arrogantly with these Bhattacharyas, the great scholars. So then Jagannath Mishra, while he's on his way back, he slaps Vishwaroop that, why did you say like this? And then this Vishwaroop was feeling bad that how the people of Navadvip are not taking to this process of devotional service. And of course, later on he goes back and establishes pure devotional service to those Bhattacharyas. He puts on arguments and then he defeats his own arguments, as Lord Chaitanya would also do. He would propose something and then he would defeat that and again re-establish it. In this way, he did that a couple of times, and all the Bhattacharyas were completely astonished seeing the great knowledge and devotion of Vishwaroop. And later on, Vishwaroop saw that it was only Advaita Acharya who was the Vaishnav there and was practicing devotional service. So he would go to the house of Advaita Acharya and spend a lot of time there in the house of Advaita Acharya. And Lord Sachi Mata would send Nimai Pandit Gaurasundar to go at the house of Advaita Acharya and call Vishwaroop for prasad back home. And whenever Nimai, the beautiful Nimai, this transcendental beautiful form, he would go to the house of Advaita Acharya, all the devotees, Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, they would be completely enamored by the beauty of Lord Chaitanya, this beautiful child Nimai. And Advaita Acharya would start thinking, this child is attracting my mind so much. So probably he is my Supreme Lord, because no one else can attract my mind other than the Supreme Lord. That was the devotion of Advaita Acharya. So he was convinced that he is attracting me, therefore he must be the Supreme Lord. It cannot be none other than. And when Lord Chaitanya Nimai would come to know, he is there in hearts of everyone, he's thinking like that, he would come immediately run away. Just give the message to Vishwaroop that mother is waiting, and he would run away from that place. So in this way, later on we see inspired Vishwaroop accepts sannyas. Therein Sachi Mata, she is like very disturbed that how could Vishwaroop accept sannyas and renounce the whole this world. Therein actually she is thinking in his mind that it is because of Advaita, it is his influence that my dear son, Vishwarup has left me. But she is considerate and she thinks that she is not speaking this to anyone, fearing Vaishnava aparadha. So she is also very, very careful. And she does not speak anything at that point. But then, later on, Nimai, he began to give a lot of pleasure to Sachi Mata more and more, because so that she don't feel separation from Vishwarup. And he would perform various wonderful pastimes at her house. And then later on, we see after Lord Chaitanya, when he exhibited himself as a devotee, he also started going and associating with Advaita Acharya. He would not stay at home, even though he had a beautiful wife, Lakshmi Priya, and Sachi Mata to take care. He would go and spend more and more time with Advaita Acharya. At that time, Sachi Mata was a little much more disturbed. And then she began to speak that Advaita will take away this, my son also, this son also. And then she says that, who says he is Advaita? Advaita, she refers that equal to everyone. He is Dvaita, full of duplicity. So in this way, Sachi Mata, out of her intense love for Sri Nimai Gaurasundar, she is in one sense criticizing or saying some words to Advaita Acharya purely out of love for Nimai. The fear that Nimai may leave me, out of her intense Vatsalya Priti, she is criticizing in one sense Advaita Acharya. So this is, in totality, we see the offense of Sachi Mata, because of which Lord Chaitanya is saying that I will not offer Prema Bhakti to Sachi Mata. And therein afterwards, actually Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that we have to be very, very careful while we understand this narration, that why this pastime was enacted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because all of the personalities we see, Sachi Mata, she is none other than Devaki or Yashoda Mai in the spiritual world. So they are eternally liberated pure souls. It is not possible for Sachi Mata to offend Advaita Acharya in any ways. And see, Vrindavan Das Thakur gives various reasons for this pastime to take place. He says one of the reasons is that this is an instructive pastime. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to stress the importance of Vaishnav aparadha, that how serious, even if one is position of the eternal associate of Lord, if he commits an aparadha to a Vaishnav, there his devotional service is hampered. And also, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that in this pastimes like this, wherein Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would exhibit his Aishwarya, he was in Bhagavan Bhav, he was in the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that time, he would not see Sachi Mata as her worshipable mother, which otherwise he would. And also Sachi Mata, when Lord Chaitanya was in Bhagavan Bhav, she was also not seeing Lord Chaitanya as Nimai or his beloved son. She was also seeing Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, this exchange between the Lord and this devotee was there. And another reason which Vrindavan Das Thakur explains is that he wanted to hear from Advaita Acharya the glories of Sachi Devi. Actually, there are beautiful verses wherein Advaita Acharya is glorifying Sachi Devi. So Lord Chaitanya, when he hears those glorifications, he is very, very pleased to hear those glories. So we see that he wanted to hear about the glories of Sachi Devi from Advaita Acharya. And another reason which Vrindavan Das Thakur explains is that to establish Advaita Acharya as a great devotee, and he explains that later on Lord Chaitanya knew that there are certain people who are going to worship Advaita as Acharya as Krishna. So he wanted to clarify the position of Advaita Acharya as a great devotee of the Lord. And Vrindavan Das Thakur gives some more clarifications in this regard also. So these are the various reasons for this episode. So basically for us, this lesson stands out is that we have to be very, very careful for Vaishnav aparadha, because it can be disastrous for our devotional service. Also, we see, as we were giving the example of weighing balance, that how sensitive devotees should be, we have another episode, a short pastime from Pastor Srila Rupa Goswami. The famous pastime wherein Rupa Goswami is in Samadhi meditation. He is seeing in his Samadhi the beautiful pastime wherein the Sakhis are dressing Srimati Radharani. And he is absorbed in that pastime. And Krishna also comes in. He is seeing Srimati Radharani and the Sakhis absorbed in this wonderful pastime. And Krishna also, he is hearing what the Sakhis and Radharani are speaking. Radharani does not know. And then when the Sakhis show the mirror to Srimati Radharani, they see, she saw also Krishna, and she and all the Sakhis then began to laugh that Krishna is seeing what was happening there. And Rupa Goswami, in that mood of the Sakhis, he also begins to laugh seeing this episode, that how Krishna is hiding and hearing this transcendental exchange between the Sakhis and Srimati Radharani. And that time it happened that a Brahman Vaishnav passes who happened to be lame. And when he sees this, that Rupa Goswami is laughing, he thinks that probably because he is laughing on my material condition, because of my I'm lame, he is laughing. And then he is a little upset in his mind. And then he goes away and goes to Sripad Sanatan Goswami. So that's the nature of Vaishnav. When he was disturbed, he approaches Sanatan Goswami. And at the same time, Rupa Goswami's vision got stopped. So he also got disturbed. And this Vaishnav, he approaches Sanatan Goswami and explains the whole situation, that I am a little disturbed. I went to meet Rupa Goswami and this is what had happened. And Sanatan Goswami, knowing the mood of Sri Rupa Goswami, he explains that this is what Rupa Goswami was meditating on, and you misunderstood him. And then Brahman Vaishnav became very, very morose. And then he started thinking that I have actually offended Srila Rupa Goswami. It is a great mistake on my part that I thought about such a great exalted Vaishnav like Srila Rupa Goswami like this. So herein then, he decides to go and approach Rupa Goswami. As we all know, that this is the solution to a Vaishnava aparadha, that going and begging forgiveness from that personality who has been offended by us. So also, Rupa Goswami also approaches Sanatan Goswami, that his vision has been stopped. What is the reason? And he could understand that probably he has offended some Vaishnav. And then Sanatan Goswami explained that this is what has happened. And then that Brahman Vaishnav and Rupa Goswami meet. And then both of them are expressing in humility, in their utmost humility, and they are expressing that I have offended you, please forgive me. So this transcendental exchange goes on between, that both are begging forgiveness, that it was my fault. I should have not come at this point of time when you were absorbed in Samadhi. And Rupa Goswami said that I should have been even more careful about the surroundings, what is happening. So in this way, we see that sometimes misunderstanding takes place between exalted personalities also. But the classic example is how they resolve. In great humility, they approach an advanced personality, express their problem, and then finally, finding the solution, they meet each other and beg forgiveness. And later on, Rupa Goswami and they embrace each other and sit together and glorify Krishna and discuss about Krishna's narrations, about wonderful pastimes of Krishna. So, therefore, we see it is very, very essential subject matter that for us in our sadhakas, practicing devotion, devotees, how careful we should be in dealing with Vaishnavas. And we see in this section episode wherein Chitraketu Maharaj is in one sense glorifying Lord Shiva for his dhir nature like that. And in further on in this chapter, the glories of the devotees, Lord Shiva, and even Mother Parvati, her glories are also revealed in this later on section, because after Lord Shiva explains the glories of the Vaishnavas, she begins to lament that I probably have not done the right thing in criticizing Chitraketu Maharaj. Therefore, in this beautiful episode, the wonderful glories of all the three personalities, Parvati Devi, Chitraketu Maharaj, and Lord Shiva, are being revealed to us by Srila Shukadeva Goswami and enlivening purports of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comments? Please forgive if I have spoken or offended any Vaishnav in my attempt to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai.